Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
This is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com, and pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli after the Jags fall to the Tennessee Titans 16-14. A blocked field goal in the final seconds secured the win for the Titans. The defense giving up some big plays, but a bend, don't break kind of deal. They're playing okay, keeping the team in the games. They could use a turnover or two. Turnovers on offense, though, a theme, of course. Third quarter interception, fourth quarter fumble. We'll get to all that tonight. Game management as well. Challenges, timeouts, how that can improve moving forward. A lot to get to tonight, guys, and it seems like a broken record. The Jags are now 0-6, Pete.
Well, I thought they'd be 1-5, to be honest with you. I didn't think they'd win any of their first five games, but I thought they'd win this one. And I think they're making strides. Again, it's not about, and I know people don't want to hear this, It's not about the wins and losses. It's about growing. I mean, at one point yesterday, they were playing, what, 7-8 rookies on offense?
Unbelievable.
I mean, and that's not a bad thing.
Has that ever happened in the history of the league?
I went back and I started thinking about it and looked around and I can't find any.
First year of the NFL was in existence when everyone's rookies?
How many guys at one point, what was the most, and I haven't got back in charge, but how many guys were on the rookies were on the field on offense at one point, the most they had? Was it six?
Well, I know the most possible was 8, but I don't think they ever got there. I think it was 6.
So it was the left guard. It was
left guard, the left center,
quarterback,
running back,
two receivers,
and I think one. It might have had 7 one time. It might have been all three receivers.
All three receivers.
Or it might have been all three receivers, but with Denard in there because he's the third down back. So maybe Storm wasn't in there then. So it was 6 probably.
It's unbelievable.
It doesn't even count Luke Jokel, who's
not a rookie. Though.
Yeah, but
no, we're not going
to
do
right.
It doesn't
really
even
rookie.
Count him.
Second
right.
year guy. Pastor's what, his third year?
Second year guy.
So.
Second year player. Second year
Although
guy.
He looked like a rookie yesterday, Pastor.
He had a tough day. It wasn't his best.
They're all young.
Right.
So it was not his best.
It's pretty amazing, but that's the whole – and that's something that I think people in this town tend to lose sight of because I saw some things again – the coach and the GM and all that, get rid of them, go get this guy, go get that
guy. I laugh
guy.
At that.
But it's all about building for next year. And again, we said this on the show, I think it was last week or the week before.
Right.
If this is the record halfway through next season,
you got major issues.
You got big problems.
Major issues.
But I don't think it is. And it's all because that quarterback. That guy, he can cure your ills now. He can cure some ills.
Bortles yesterday, 336 yards, tied a franchise rookie single-game passing record. Leftwich in 2003 threw for 336 yards in a game as well. Yeah, you're right. Cure some ills indeed. He got the team back in the game. They were down 2 scores, and there was at least some hope. He got it down the field. They scored.
The reason they lost the game yesterday was turnovers. They had 2 critical turnovers, both when they're deep in Tennessee Titan territory.
Well, let me ask
those right there. Just say you don't turn the ball over, but you don't progress any further than that, and you end up getting just a field goals out of that 6 more, and you score a touchdown. Now, I mean, you win the game at 20-16. I mean, that is the big difference of this team. They're -6. Is it -6 for the season or -8 for the season? One of the two. When you're a young team and you're building something and you're struggling, you can't be losing the turnover battle every single week. It's hard to win games. When you're a good team and you're the better team and you lose -2 or -3 in the turnover battle, you just can't do it, Pete.
No, you can't. Let me ask you this, though. To get back into the game, they played faster. And not that they don't play fast, but, you know, they played with more urgency.
They spread it out and threw the ball more.
And drove.
It wasn't
any
faster. They just threw it. Okay. They got in shotgun.
Right.
And with Denard Robinson back there.
And this guy, did you realize this? I didn't realize this until I looked at it today. Blake Bortles is the number one rated passer in terms of completion percentage on third down in the NFL. Number one. 71%. So
I think he's 70% overall for in three games.
But let me get to – so I've put it this way. I know you have a lot of – I know they like to run the ball and everything, but do they not play better when they play that
way? So let me say this. And this,
I know where you're going.
It pains me. This is like the most painful thing because it's twofold. One, I'm going to agree with Pete, which I hate doing.
Oh, you're right for once then.
And two, as an offensive lineman, it goes against everything I believe that you need to do. And I think you have to do this to long term to be a sustainable offense, great team, to win championships. You have to be able to run the ball. I'll argue that till the end of time.
Sign the Green Bay Packers.
What?
Right? Like the Green Bay Packers did that one year, or the Giants when they won it, or whatever. You don't have to run the ball.
The Giants ran the ball well under both of Tom's teams.
Go they look were at, last in the league in rushing the one they, year they won it.
What'd they do in the
they
Super
were
Bowl?
Last.
What'd they do in the playoffs? Pete, what'd they do in the playoffs?
They ran it some.
Okay, but, no, they ran it a lot.
But here's the thing, Tony. You're right. You have to run it. You have to run it when you have the lead. And you have to be able to control the lead and control the clock. So
you
play,
have to control the line of scrimmage. So let me finish what I'm going to
okay.
say.
Keep agreeing with me. I like this. No, you're finally wising up after all these weeks.
It pains me because I don't like this because I think my philosophy, deep down, the core, what I believe is you have to have great offensive line, defensive line, control the line of scrimmage, be able to run the ball. You have to throw the ball in today's NFL. I'm not going to argue that. Heck, we threw the ball, and our best player arguably on the field was Jimmy Smith. And so, listen, dynamic passing game is incredibly important. You have to win, you have to get chunk yards in this league. It's hard to, you know, have consistently 10, 12-play drives and have 80-yard drives. That's very difficult without chunk yardage. So you have to have that. So I agree with all that no matter in any scenario. But right now, part of me thinks, a large part of me, maybe all of me, the recipe for success, the best player on the offensive side of the ball right now is Blake Bortles. Is getting three wides because you don't. Here's the other thing: this team does not have a point tight end. They have nobody who can hold the point as the tight end. Mercedes Lewis is not here, and so you want to run this outside stretch. It makes it hard with no run blocking tight end. Clay Harbor is a pass catching tight end. He does a good job at that. So spread him out. Put Denard Robinson next to Blake Bortles and go play football and run the underneath handoffs inside zone out of shotgun when you get the six in the box. And sling it around the field, and I think right now, if you look at the personnel of this team, I think that's their best recipe because they can't listen. They can't run the ball. I mean, right now they can't, and it's painful for me to say this, but they go look at take away Blake Bortles' numbers from the rushing attack, and I think they averaged either right at 2 or under 2 yards a carry.
Come over to the dark side.
Yeah, I haven't seen Pete smile this long.
But
am I
wrong?
No, you're right.
Well, here's my. Just
you're right, you're 100% right.
Thought about it. You don't want to take the ball out of your best player's hand, is what you're trying to say.
Well, right? Not only that,
but if there's any semblance of a run game that's any threat at all, does that make Bortles that much better?
Yeah, but you can't do it right now. Guess
because you don't have the personnel to do it.
Denard Robinson averaged over 4 yards a carry, and a lot of that was when at the end when they got a shotgun and they handed it underneath to him.
I mean, I'm going
to
say no. I mean, not that it's not going to – because you want to run the ball. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to control the clock when you need to control the clock. That's what the running game has to do. But Green Bay this year, I'm going to use them as an example. I'm not going to say he's Aaron Rodgers, but you assume he's the best player. He's the best player on the field. To me, he has the look of a guy who's going to be special down the road.
I had a national media person who does TV say he's the best young quarterback he has seen at his age, as far as where he is, how many games he's played, and everything else.
I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to dispute that. I think.
I mean, now
you know how I felt.
We're talking
about
Andrew Luck here too,
right?
But this guy said, "I'm just telling you." He said, "This guy right here, what I've seen is."
Well, you know how I felt about it all along, so I'm not going to.
And I'm not saying he's Andrew Luck.
No,
but I'm not saying he's not either.
But he is
clearly really good.
Really, really talented.
Now, he makes some mistakes. Trust me. Watching the tape, he went the wrong way a couple times. Gets confused.
But that's the rookie.
A couple of the sacks were on him because he's
kind of froze in the pocket.
Well, he got. I think you watch him and you can tell. It's like, okay, I'm not sure where to go right now, and nothing's here. I'm going to try to. He tries to get up in there and run because he can.
Right.
And he gets sacked. I'm fine with that. That's part of football.
But he's clearly the best player on the team, and he clearly plays when he plays up tempo. He's significantly.
It's not up tempo. It's
spread out.
Out of shotgun, spread them out.
Yeah, And I think that's what they need to do. But I mentioned Green Bay. A couple weeks ago, Green Bay went to Detroit. And they decided in that game, and I charted it, they were going to run Eddie Lacy. And they ran on four of their first five first down plays in the game and got nothing and had no points. And you could clearly see that that was frustrating Rodgers and it was just a bad plan. Well, they came back the next week, and I forget who they played the next week, and went back to Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers. And the ball went all over the place. And they blew out. I forget who it was. So they've won three, since they've changed that, they've won three straight games. And Eddie Lacy's not the focal point of the offense, nor should he be, ever. Last year, they needed Eddie Lacy because Aaron Rodgers wasn't there. They don't need Eddie. They need Eddie Lacy to be a complimentary piece to Aaron Rodgers. And that's what the Jaguars running game needs to be, is a complimentary piece to Blake Bortles.
How do you fix that? Or can you? You just change that in the middle? Is that the approach moving forward? Hey, let's just scrap this and go for it?
Just play how you did in the fourth quarter of the whole game.
Okay.
Because
that easy?
You know what's even would even be better
it's
about
easy
that?
For me and Pete to say because none of our jobs are on the line. We're not sitting back
their
here.
Jobs aren't on the line this
no,
year
I
either.
I know what I'm saying, but I mean, it's easy for us to say.
But it says, can be tough for a coordinator to change that philosophy.
Well,
here's
the thing. Jed's a little like that.
Jed's going to get ripped either way.
That's true.
But I think Jed would be okay with that.
But ultimately, it's the head man's job. I mean, the head man has to say, that's what we're going to do. I mean, it's Gus's call, ultimately.
See, I think you got to get out of the mindset and the mentality of, you know, you're going to run the ball, protect the defense, not, you know, place, you know. Again, I'm going to say this again. They ain't Seattle. They're not going to be Seattle. Kick that to the curb. That's gone. This is a team that
what
needs
about
to be
Seattle getting manhandled? And I did not see that coming.
Yeah, well, the quarterback's not that good out there, just like I've been saying.
But
for
you know we'll get to that. But you know what else later. Is really good? Is that offensive line in Dallas, and they controlled the line.
And
the scrimmage.
So is that quarterback.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, we jumped around.
We'll get to that coming.
But, yes. So give him – let it go. And then it'll prepare him. Okay, you might not do that when you get good because you might not. If you eventually fix the offensive line and have that running game, you're not going to do that on a consistent basis. But when you have to do it, he's going to be darn good at doing it, right? And in this league, you have to do that. The good teams in this league can come back from 10-12 down on the road, 10-14 down on the road, if you have that guy. And this team has that guy.
This is really scary. You guys agreeing with
me. Oh, yes. He's finally right
for once. I don't
even
know how to deal with this, actually. Jaguars Monday continues in a moment. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. When we return, Jeff Lagerman joins us. A preview of Jaguars All Access Television coming up tonight. Your calls a little bit later, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. And more Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Times, maybe the frustration... Not too much, just with the officials. I think, you know, they did a good job. And going back, they did a real good job officiating it. But I think maybe the players felt it a little bit from me. And just in all aspects. I don't think I did a really good job with the team after the game. I think I could have done better with the game management, you know, with the challenge flags. So those things, you know, we all challenge ourselves in areas that we could get better. And I challenged the team, then, you know, I pointed out the things I could get better at, too.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today, his day after press conference, after the Jags fall to the Titans 16-14. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Yes, sir. Tony?
How many coaches do what he just did?
Admit they're bad at game management? Yeah. I've always given him credit for it. He calls himself out.
Has anyone,
and he was.
I mean, how often do you hear that around the NFL?
Jeff Lagerman's with us now from Jaguars All Access. What's up?
I give Gus a lot of credit because, you know, every press conference that I've ever watched or been to, he's very transparent.
He's one of those
guys that is just going to be honest and upfront, and that's the way he's going to be. And I appreciate that. You know, now he's not going to be giving you all the information that you probably some fans might want to have, but he is.
Well, he can't.
He's very, very honest, which is refreshing.
It is refreshing
like
in
the
a league.
Anti-Bill Belichick.
Yeah, in a league full of liars. It is. And you know what? He's learned. That's another thing, too. And, Jeff, because we were talking about this before, there's some people out there in this town already calling for Gus and Dave. And
what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come and on. Surprised you haven't got it on Twitter yet.
And I think he's still learning how to be a head coach. Because and that's the hardest part of it. Don't you agree?
From the game management
part of it is the hardest part of it.
Pete, what makes the head coach great?
Winning.
Good coordinators. Good coaches.
And good players.
And motivate.
And not good players.
Not motivate. And good players. And.
How in the hell can you start with good coaches, good
this? Good players.
Great players make a great coach.
But,
plain and simple.
But there are – you could – throw that stuff, yes, you have to have it, but game management also has to be something that you're good at too.
Yeah, I mean that's all part of it too. But I mean, first and foremost, you got to have great players, and this team is in the process of trying to assemble that.
Oh, it's always about Jimmys and Joes and not X's and O's.
Yeah.
I get that, but there are coaches in this league that have had good players who weren't good. They weren't good game management
coaches.
Yeah,
there was two instances probably yesterday where you'd like to have seen him do something different. I'm probably sure in hindsight he would have liked to have done something different. One
Which
is
two?
The one challenge. And the other instance was, I mean, hindsight. I mean, personally, if it were me, I would have went for one more play at the end of that ball game.
We're going to have a debate on that later on, but I'm with you.
But, you know, but I also understand his viewpoint and Tony's viewpoint because we talked about that during the game. And that, you know, you can't fault him for not wanting to have a mistake take away from the opportunity with a kicker that's made 62.2% of his field goals from 50-plus. You know,
Here's another one that at the end of the half when the Titans were going in, he had his timeouts. He could have used them.
Yep.
And to me, I used to have the argument with your old coach all the time. I used to tell him, I'd say, Tom, that's your time. And he'd argue with me. He'd say, well, I don't want to give him a chance to regroup. And I'd tell him, Tom, they have their own timeouts. If they want to regroup, they'll call their own timeout. Use yours because that's your time. But, see, Gus isn't alone in that. That's a problem in the NFL, thinking that that's their time.
Well, I don't think any of them were, like, cost him the game or anything like that.
No.
You know, so, you know, to me it's a learning process for him, it's a learning process for the team. But look, you can't sit there and say, okay, this one's on the head coach. You make a few plays on offense or a few
turnovers.
Plays on defense.
Oh, no. Turnovers of that game.
Oh, yeah. He didn't lose the game.
No.
The whole difference in that game is turnovers. Bottom line.
Well, that's usually the case with most games.
That's what I'm saying.
And especially when you're now.
Especially when you're a young team. What are they, Jeff? Minus eight.
One in that game minus six, and they came out that game minus two, so they're minus eight on the year.
And it's hard to win when you give up possessions, especially when you give up possessions deep in the opponent's territory. Both turnovers were in plus yardage, plus territory, and both were in areas where if you do nothing else from where the turnover happened, you kick a field goal, and that's 6 points. Nothing else has to happen. Just don't turn the ball over.
And I was getting I was getting kind of killed on Twitter a little bit.
Welcome
I guess,
to my world
last night, and because you know, I had said after the game at one point, I said that you know coming out of that game, the first thought is it's a different mindset now in Jacksonville with the quarterback, and that you finally feel like no matter what the score of the game, no matter what the circumstances, if it's possible, it's possible with Blake Bortles at quarterback. And people, I don't know if people really appreciate what kind of performance that he is having as a rookie. I mean, you're talking about a young
70%.
Quarterback that has a cast of rookies around him that's completing, 68% of his passes.
First in the league and third down, 71%.
I mean, are you kidding me? Hello, folks. And how about the interception that he threw or the fumble that Cecil Shorts had that he kind of threw his body around, which I did not like. But I give him respect that he threw his body at one of the blockers to knife underneath to end up getting the guy who had the ball.
He'll stop that quickly.
No,
I mean, he does.
Pick six if he doesn't.
And he does. But I'm telling you.
It's pick six.
He's a football player.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's great.
So you got that on Twitter last night that you said
well,
that?
Well, you know, the people were all upset about the game and, you know, and I get it. And people a lot of times are kind of very
you're a homer,
still
Jeff.
Questioning Blake Bortles. And, you know.
You're a homer.
They can call me a homer all they want. You know,
trust me, they call me one.
You know what?
Well,
he is one heck of a young quarterback.
It's unreal. It's unreal. I've told you this before, and I know Mark's your buddy. They haven't had this guy walk in that building ever.
No.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
Nope. I agree with you completely. And it's that to me. Who would you compare him to? If you compare him to any rookie, now look, I know that it's only what, three starts so far? But if you had to compare him to one other young quarterback that's coming to the league in the last 10, 15 years, who would it be?
See, he's not as wild with this play as Roethlisberger was as a rookie.
No, he's not.
So it's you got to take
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck would be the one.
There you go.
I told Pete earlier, and I think I told you yesterday, Jeff, I had a national guy tell me he's the best young quarterback he has ever seen.
But he's got a lot of the similar traits of Andrew Luck.
But he's bigger and more physical, so that's why you get the – it's almost like he's a cross between the two. He's got Luck's ability to climb the pocket, feel pressure, and move and make the throws, but he's kind of – you know, Luck won't – this kid will take the pounding like Roethlisberger will – and bounce off people and get outside where Luck might go down. He might feel it and get out of there and throw. So I think it's kind of a combination.
It is. And don't forget, Andrew Luck had Reggie Wayne, probably a Hall of Fame receiver.
Well, one of the plays that really, I think, really kind of exemplified that was yesterday when he scrambled out of the pocket and he was just kind of dancing right along the line of scrimmage. But he never looked. I mean, he never looked one time to find the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, how do you feel that?
How do you know that?
Well, it's just like when they're in their pocket over the years. You've seen it for years, and you rushed the passer, and you protected these guys. They have a feel of what's behind them. The great ones have that feel. Like you played Marino.
Yeah.
Marino always knew where you were.
He was unbelievable.
And you played great pass rushers, and you played with quarterbacks, so you know that how they feel it, and they sense it, and they get out of there. I mean, the great ones have that feel in the pocket for who's coming and where to go and get away and still make a throw. Not get out and run, get out and make a throw.
Which he always looks to do first. His first option is never run. His first option is always keep the shoulder square and find an option. It's never run first. Now, there was a couple times yesterday that he probably could have been a little bit better in the pocket.
Yeah, two of the sacks were on him.
You know, but
but he probably got out of two other ones, so it's all a wash.
You know what they should do? They should put a young quarterback film together and put Blake over here and put Blaine over here and show what to do in the pocket. This is the way you're supposed to do it, and this is the way you're not supposed to do it.
Defense for this Jags team. They gave up 16 points yesterday. Second half, two field goals, three and outs. I mean, you can't ask a whole lot more of this defense except maybe a turnover or two, like we said earlier.
Well, that's the biggest thing that you need to get. And I think the previous week against Pittsburgh Steelers, that's the one thing you needed to get to clinch a game or give yourself an opportunity at winning the ball game. You know, but also, you rolled off some stats there. The other one that's been very important is red zone production. You know, the Jaguars held the Titans to 1-3 in the red zone in that ball game, and the Jaguars are staying at the top. The one thing, though, they still need to eliminate from their game is explosive plays.
Yep.
If they can eliminate that from that, and to me, explosive plays means you got to have better guys that can cover. You know, and do you have guys that can cover better, or do you need to get better guys that can cover?
Well, but let me ask you this, Jeff, and you know defense side better than I do. Watching the tape, all but one of the explosive plays were eye violations into the backfield.
Right. Correctable.
Correctable. It had nothing to do with physical ability of the player.
Mm-hmm.
It was just biting up on the run fake and getting someone behind him. And that happens all the time in this league.
Cyprian didn't have a great game in that category. He was a little off in that category.
He made some amazing
But he
plays.
Did still make some plays that you go, hey, that's pretty nice.
He wasn't credited with them, but I saw where somebody said he had 13 tackles.
He made a lot of tackles.
I'll say this. On a key third down and third and two, Delanie Walker goes out, who is fast, is out in the flat, and when the ball's thrown, I'm like, oh, great, it's a first down. And out of nowhere comes Jonathan Cyprian and drops him in his tracks. And I was like, that right there was one of the better plays I've seen.
A little
seen
different
season.
Than the week before when he bounced off of LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, well,
one quick thing, though, just from the TV tape and then watching the tapes, they seem to have guys – busting more than any team in the league right now. Am I wrong about that? Are there
now? Busts are going down, but early, absolutely.
Yeah, early in the year, yeah.
But even then, like the long pass, the guy was wide open. I forget which one. That was it to Walker.
It was
Delanie Walker. Like,
but there was another guy. He could have picked. He had another guy on the TV. It looked like there was another guy wide open.
No, it was only Delanie Walker. He overthrew him, and it was that was one of the plays. Sip is running downhill for the run, and Delanie Walker goes right by him.
Jaguars All Access TV tonight. Who you got?
We got Brandon Linder, who has been, up until this past game, the Jaguars' best offensive lineman. He struggled a little bit.
Yeah, he had a tough night.
Against the Titans, you know. Both him and Austin Pasdor, not great games. I thought probably the best offensive lineman was the rookie at center, Luke Bawenko. I thought he had a real nice game.
I did too, and I thought Luke had probably his best overall game.
Yeah, and I'm not quite in that category. You know, I'm not going to join you there. I thought that he had moments where he was soft against really an average pass rusher in Cameron Wembley. His adjustments a couple times where he had to find the next guy to block, he was a little late on. But, you know, he's clearly better than he was in the first, you know, three or four games, but he's still got a ways to go.
Left guard. No, I agree with you 100%. I'm basing it on
about the left guard?
The progression. Hold on, before we get there. I'm basing what Luke has done based on the progression of him getting better. I thought this was his best game as far as
– I know, Tony watches more of the technique than I do. I think if you were to grade his technique got better. Did the production get better? Probably stayed the same. But I think his technique got
better. I
think that's
fair. And that's what I'm looking at.
He just needs to get stronger, doesn't he?
Well, that's part of it. But that's
the experience.
He's doing – he did things in this game I've been wanting to see. Example, changing up his sets. He did such a better job giving him the different looks. The one thing that is still not very good – that if he will make a small adjustment, it's not easy, it's easy for me to say, is hand placement. He still has really poor hand placement. If he'll work on that and go, but he's making steps where he's getting better each week in the technique, and when you put it all together, that makes a huge difference in the production will come.
The biggest thing he's not doing that he did early on is getting his weight over his feet
too far. It's huge. That's a huge difference.
You know, and a lot of fans can't see that. They're looking at the result of the guy that he's blocking, but
he's
getting
better. The results will come.
7 o'clock tonight on Channel 4, Sam Kavaras and Jeff Flogger.
Yeah, and I'm bringing my golf clubs tonight.
Why?
Because he makes all these golf references.
Own
he has
golf
no
clubs?
Idea.
Huh? Tune in.
Okay.
We'll stop the show and tune in. Yeah,
I play golf.
You can watch it.
I play golf a lot, barely hunt. He never golfs and hunts all the time. And all of a sudden, the last 3 weeks, he makes a golf reference every broadcast. I'm like, what are you talking about?
You know, when I used to play golf, you know what I always had in my golf bag?
Six pack?
No. Well, that too. But one of those pocket fishermen. You always have a fishing rod jammed into the bag.
Have a great show tonight.
All right, guys.
Jeff Loggeman joining us on Jaguars Monday. Hey, Jags fans, do you want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video boards? Use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive on Sunday and be part of the game experience. The Social Drive brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I think that's healthy. I think you need to be challenged because I think it really bears on the person himself. Does he have humility to hear those challenges? And then can he use that challenge to work on his weakness? If it's that, I think it's very healthy. Publicly, to call somebody out, you know, what is your intent? Is it your intent to help them get better or just to take blame away from you? I think there's different ways to look at it. So I think in many ways it can be healthy.
Head coach Gus Bradley in his day after press
what
conference
was he referring
earlier today.
To there?
The question.
What was the question?
The question.
I always
Tony,
like to know what these questions are because some of the questions are dumb. But this sounded like a good question.
The question was, Tony, is finger pointing in the locker room? How do you avoid that? Is it good? Is it bad?
Good
Where
question.
Is it
did
good
you
or
ask
bad?
That, JP?
I did not. Ryan O'Halloran asked that at the time.
Well, Ryan's a very good writer and best beat writer we've ever had here.
Well,
whoa.
That you know is not true. We know who the best beat writer they've ever had here.
Osher?
John Osher. Jaguars Monday continues. Pete Prisco, the former beat writer for the Times Union, is with us. Tony Maselli is here too. JP Shadrick with you. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
He does a great job. We're doing a show critiquing writers.
But we can do a whole show on that.
But what I do like about Ryan, he's very conscientious and tries to get it right and does his homework. He asks a lot of questions on things he's not sure about as far as the technique of the game and intricacies, and then he writes about it, and he does a very good job.
You know what I wish? I wish back in the day when I was the beat guy that the All-22 tape was available the way it is now.
You're already an addict. You've been a mess.
Coffee would have killed me.
Oh gosh,
it would have killed me. Leon might have killed me.
I would have widened the perimeter of the no Prisco. No, because I would have taken Prisco free zone.
I would have taken it to my deep throat and got the real story from you.
Who, Yurko?
You? No, I would have got the defense from him and the offense from you.
You were the one, Tony. Huh?
I was not for the 50th time. No.
There wasn't one real deep throat. There were just a lot of guys.
Okay.
And he was included in that.
What I would do with Pete, and I did this with pretty much everyone, I would just answer the question honestly.
You never told me anything that was going on, ever.
No. I didn't.
You remember that lie detector test we had out here?
Yeah, bring it on. No, you can bring any lie detector test.
Tony.
What was the noise of it?
Tony. 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 Don't make me bring it up.
I just got brought up.
I really don't remember you talking
okay.
about.
Okay. There's a statute of limitations on Coughlin yelling at
yes,
you and getting
is.
Mad at you.
Yeah, sure.
So you can't get mad at you. When
I'm
Mark,
honestly, I'm being honest.
Okay,
I don't
when
remember.
Mark Brunell got into it with Coughlin, the infamous riff story that the Times Union ran on C8 because they didn't believe me. Remember that?
Vaguely. I remember there was a...
He was called... It was the Tennessee game. Mark got called out. It was in 96.
Okay.
In the rain.
No, 99.
No, 99. Yeah, 99. Coughlin made a really...
I remember the game.
Coughlin, and I'll say it right now, he made a real stupid decision by throwing into the end zone.
I agree with you 100%.
Should have kicked the field goal and won the game.
Yeah, I said it back then. I mean, right, we should have run the ball.
Okay, so Mark throws an interception in the rain. Tennessee
wins.
We
just got, on first down, we got 6 yards.
Right, but even if you don't get it, even if you don't get any more, you kick the field goal and you win the game. You're
no,
only
we go
down.
To, no, we go to overtime.
What, was it overtime?
We're down three, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Overtime at home.
Should have kicked. But,
no,
I mean, should have run it.
It was second down and 4 from the 4.
But anyway,
I wanted to run the ball because we just gashed them. We were going to gash them again. We were going in to score. We called some dumb pass play that didn't work.
To the corner of the end zone in the rain. And Samari Roll picked them off.
And now I'm remembering this, and I think it was one of the few times a finger was
– at Mark.
Yeah, and that bothered me.
And in front of the teammates, I'm not mistaken.
And that bothered me.
And then he called him out in the press conference.
And that bothered me.
And Mark and
I said something.
You told me you got it right.
Oh yeah, but that's not deep throw. Absolutely.
Well,
but I was public about that back then. If Tom would ask, yeah,
you were public about it.
You're wrong about
because
that.
You know what happened? I wrote the story. The Times Union didn't believe the story, and. Or the way – I don't know why they did. They ran on C8. They ran it the day of the game on Sunday, and you guys went to Pittsburgh that week and lost the game, and that was the day Coughlin swung the door open.
No, we won the game in Pittsburgh. We only lost 2 games that year, Pete, to Tennessee.
No, or what? Maybe that wasn't the – yeah, he came – did you beat Pittsburgh the
following
week?
Yeah,
okay, you won the game, and he came through the door and screamed at me.
Okay, yeah, but I would have told Tom back then it was a dumb – absolutely. We were all mad.
You got a jaded memory.
Yeah. Been a while. Seriously. I mean, 96 is a long time ago.
It was 99.
99 is
I remember
a long time
the play,
ago, too.
I remember the play like yesterday. I was so flipping mad.
Well, he called him out. It was bad.
I was mad about losing the game that we should have won.
Right.
Jaguars Monday continues.
I can always
like, nobody cares about that.
I can always
no, everybody cares.
It's
a great
history.
Story.
History
no,
good.
It's good. I'm just saying.
It's the 20th anniversary of the Jaguars,
I have
Tony.
No problem admitting that. I don't.
For the first time ever.
No. It's the first time you've ever...
And why didn't you go on the record then, as Tony Baselli said?
I probably didn't want to...
Got him!
I'd be lying. The lie detector off would go, if I had said anything else. But I was vocal in the locker room of not being happy about it. No, I was.
You didn't want to see your name in print.
Right. But I was vocal. I didn't say anything to you I wouldn't say to Tom or any player in that locker room.
But if you said it, you didn't say it to me.
I didn't want
to. You didn't want to be on the record.
No, it's not. I didn't want to.
I mean, not the record, but you didn't
want
your name.
I didn't want the story to be about me.
No, you
created a bigger issue.
Right. You wanted to defend your quarterback.
I wanted to defend the quarterback and to make sure. Listen,
Tom knew that you can't do that.
I'm saying it wasn't a good. Obviously, it was a bad pass. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember if it was a bad pass, bad route. What happened?
It was like corner of the end zone. It was.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
It was covered.
Yeah, it was. Whatever. I was upset about the whole situation that we didn't run the ball and everything else.
Right.
Whether I handled it right, I don't know. I was emotional.
Emotional.
Tony, this was about 3 or 4 days later. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was?
Yeah. When you drove up in your truck right outside.
I was mad about that for
a
long
time. Did you
have
a truck?
Big truck? Yeah, I had a big truck.
Yeah.
I was mad about that for a long time.
Yeah. See?
But when you say I was deep, it makes me think I was telling. I would never tell you things that happened in the team meeting or anything.
We'll talk about it off. We'll talk about
we've
it.
We've got
off
plenty
the
of shows. No, I would not. Too.
I know
not
that for a fact.
Meeting,
never.
But
what happened in that team meeting? I used to get mad at you because things would come out about the team meeting. I'm like, that's no one's business what happens in that locker room or that team meeting.
Let me ask you this before we go.
He's going to come hit me.
I'm about to beat your rear end.
Let's just keep this going then for a little while. This would be fun.
I mean, because that's what, when you say, because there were guys, I know you had guys that would
moles inside.
No, he had moles, and that used to bother me.
Well, who are the moles then?
Well, he got to remember, he was like Tom's unofficial son, so of course it was going to bother
him. It bothered me. I didn't think anything in the locker room or in the team meeting room was no one's business but ours.
Not some weasel little
and
beat,
I thought right? And that's why, and frankly, that's why I was mad that Tom called out, because Tom never did that. I don't know what got into him. He never did that.
But he had also called out Mark in front of the team and called Mark out again when he brought him down.
In the press. Right. The thing that bothered me, getting called out on the team, everyone got called out on the team.
But
the press really bothered me.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
The Jaguars Women's Association.
I'm getting mad again.
let's just keep going. I'll read this later.
Joe, get over here. I'm going to beat you.
Tony's just going to hit somebody tonight. The Jaguars Women's Association presents Football 101 for Women coming up this Thursday. 6:30 to 9 in the West Touchdown Club. Interactive workshop designed to teach the technical side of football. A Q&A with players, scouts, and coaches. Tickets on sale, jaguars.com/2014NFL101. The proceeds benefit Baptist Health's Hillbreast Center. Your calls when we come back, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're the tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco.
I'm not happy, JP.
And
not
Tony
happy.
Baselli has rehashed the entire 1999 season during
the
commercial
break. No, just
that
game. I was right about
he was
that
right.
Game.
We were only down by one. We kick a field goal. We win. What is he doing? Can we get Tom on the phone? I want to ask him right now.
Isn't it amazing? He's in.
He's in a great mood right now.
That guy's going to go into the Hall of Fame.
He's a great coach.
Yeah, he's a great coach, but they all make.
I mean, I give up sacks, and everyone makes mistakes. But that was a brutal one.
But that goes back to what I said before about Gus learning and managing. They all make the mistakes. It's a learning process. You got to get a feel for it.
Let's go to the phone lines for the first time tonight.
I got a headache.
Get Tony happy again. 355-NFL1. 355.
Dumb call.
6351.
Last week, JP, you had some doozies.
Leo in Mandarin is going to start us off talking about the quarterback. And Leo, what's up?
Hey, guys. I appreciate it real very much. How y'all doing tonight?
Great. What's up?
Hey, man. It's a great show, man. Y'all hit on a lot of topics with logging in exactly what I wanted to call about. So I'll go quick, man. But, Pete, I couldn't agree more. We've talked about this before. Y'all touched on a lot of stuff. What amazes me, though, is I'm just sitting here looking at this guy's stats. I wish they had played him, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but I wish they had played him through the first 3 weeks, because if you look at his numbers, this is what folks should be excited about. I know we're losing. I know we're 0-6. This dude is – his percentage, y'all hit on it, but you don't understand. He's ranked like fifth right now in his percentage, and of all the quarterbacks, if he played the first three, he'd probably have about 1,500 passing yards. But anyway, this is the guy. We've got the guy. Now we've got to build around him. Baselli, you ate me up last time I called, and you said, what team has 10 superstars? And you ate my lunch, and I'll give it to you. But here's
you
what
said
I was
Detroit.
At.
That's why.
But here's what I was getting at.
All right, go the for
five,
it, Leo.
Five I'm looking for is when your offensive line can keep your quarterback clean for a game, they've played superstar football. And that's what I mean. If your offensive linemen, like the Dallas Cowboys right now, their offensive line is playing superstar football. And that's what I mean. We need five solid, strong guys. And let me tell you something. What's weird about our defense, we've been hollering for, we need sacks. We need sacks. We're second or third in the league with 19 sacks, but we're 0-6. It's so unbelievable. And in tackles, we're ranked like fifth. I don't even understand it at all. But I wish they had a third down.
We're not
set.
Scoring more points than their team. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. How about that? What do you make of that? Need an offensive line like Dallas. Well, everybody needs an offensive
Cowboys
line like Dallas.
Cowboys were terrible on the offensive line a year ago.
Yeah, they went the last – they've committed to drafting.
Frederick
guys.
Was okay last year. He's really good this year. The right guard is a first-round pick.
Tyron
Smith's playing well.
And
Doug Freeze
and
playing
I'll
well.
Just say this. I love their offensive line, but it's hard to keep a quarterback clean for an entire game, and they don't. I mean, no. The Houston Texans got after Tony Romo.
Right. And
was that
and
not correct?
And yesterday, Romo got pressured on that on the big play where he
scrambled
out of it and made a throw to –
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, they're a great offensive line, but the defensive lines, I mean, they get paid too, and it's going to be – that's what the great quarterbacks do. It's what – and Blake, I think, has that ability to buy time in the pocket and move around and even help the offensive line better. But there's no doubt what Leo's 100% correct on is Dallas – it's one of the most – to the average – I'm not going to say fan, but for too many people in this league that make it all about the quarterback, and listen, it's a quarterback league. I get that. It is a critical position. But if you can't win the line of scrimmage, you can't win consistently in this league. You can't.
And, I'll tell you, he's got a good offensive line.
And so, I mean, that is critical.
Cleveland.
Cleveland's playing very well. This team coming in this week, and we'll talk about this in the second hour, is really dang good.
But they're one of the best. But now they're offensive line.
Even without Mac.
Now they lose Mac, so Greco goes over to guard, and they have to play one of the McQuiston family.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, they got to play McQuiston at guard. So,
but they're still weak. But weakens them a little bit, but
they're
good.
I'll tell you what's good is the rookie guard from it was a tackle at Nevada, Batonio. He's playing well. The left side of their line is really good.
They're a good team.
Yeah. Well, defensively, they're not that good.
No, they're pretty good. They're good in the second. The corners are playing well.
They're 30th in the league or so, in run defense.
I said the secondary, Pete. Okay.
Well, Hayden didn't play yesterday.
3-5-5.
Does he listen, JP?
Gilbert's not playing that well.
I don't think he does.
I don't know if they're that good in the secondary.
3-5-5-NFL-1, 3-5-5-6-3-5-1. Eric on the
south
side.
Pretty good against the Steelers. Well, only gave up 10.
Yeah,
they did. Wants to talk defense. Eric, what's up tonight?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if you could kind of elaborate on what are the particular struggles we're having, because it looks like the line is getting pressure and doing their spot, but it's just too many people are wide open all the time. If you could kind of
are you talking offense or defense, my friend? Offense or defense? You're jumping around a lot there.
Defense.
Defense.
Oh, defense.
Our defensive line is doing good, excuse me, in my opinion, but and too many people are just getting left open. So if you could elaborate on particularly why, and also did we draft defense with the first round pick, and if so, who?
Thanks for the call.
I refuse to talk draft right now.
It's October 13th.
I refuse to talk draft.
We got a call last night on the post game about draft.
I will not talk draft.
I'll say this, because people in this town are already banging that drum. They're not taking a running back in the first round. Forget that. Forget it.
Anywhere in the first round, right?
No. There's a million of them. Guys go down, they stick in Brandon Oliver in San Diego, and he runs wild. They're everywhere. You don't draft a running back in the first round. As good as Gurley will be, as good as Melvin Gordon might be from Wisconsin, there's 90 of those guys around.
Now, not about 90, but
the difference between having the great running back and the good running back doesn't impact what you do on the football field. It just doesn't.
Well, let's answer the other question you had. Guys running wide open.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I don't think they're running wide open as much, but you still see it, and it's just there are busts at times as far as against the play-action pass. That's where you see the biggest issue. I thought they've cleaned it up quite a bit the last 2 weeks. I think the secondary is playing better. But there are busts. I mean, I think you saw a couple the couple cases we talked about with Jeff. It was Jonathan Cyprian, who made some great plays, but also got caught looking in the backfield a couple times. Guys get behind him, and there's some gaping holes at times. So that happens. They've cleaned it up better each week. It was dreadful early, and I think maybe that's what Eric's talking about. A lot of guys, a lot of busts, and I think they've done a good job of cleaning it up.
When we return on Jaguars Monday, the second hour, a ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. It's a one-of-a-kind game day experience. It includes watching the game on the world's largest video boards, the State Farm Fan Cave, partying on the Clevelander deck. See Blake Bortles and the Jags face the Browns this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Visit Jaguars.com/more or call 633-2000. Hour 2 of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Hello.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We talk a lot about our younger players, and you know sometimes they make mistakes, but it's also our veterans now. You're right. I can't argue that one bit. I think they sense it as a whole team. There was a few more, some veteran guys that missed tackles and didn't get their assignments done on offense as well. So, you know, it's a humble day for a lot of them.
Head coach Gus Bradley in his day after press conference earlier Monday. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, Tony Boselli.
You didn't go get us a bar.
Well, we got stuck talking to our good friend who visits every week.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, there's no food in here tonight. Tony actually flipped away chips earlier and spread them all over the room.
Yeah, he makes a mess in here.
That's
you really
because
you spill stuff.
First of all,
stuff.
I don't need you putting chips in front of me when I'm not eating chips tonight.
You know why I do that? I did that to Dirk Cutter at Mike Smith's golf tournament one year. He was like trying to lose some weight. Dirk's thin anyways, but he was trying to lose
some
weight.
Why was he trying to lose weight?
Well, because he wanted to get down like 15 pounds. He did. But he was doing it right before, you know, the summer started. So I took every hole there's like something to eat. So I'd put it, he'd say no. So I'd put it in his golf cart for him.
You're a bad person, people. So.
You wouldn't do it to me? Yes, you would. If I was, and I'm not. I'm trying not to eat that, but I ate a couple.
Well, yeah, and you're fat.
So. And you're fat too.
No, I'm not.
I
like
won't
you.
Be fat.
You're,
by
you're like a roly-poly.
No,
you're almost as wide as you are tall.
No, how many pounds over your playing weight are you?
No, I'm under by 25.
You are
23. Yeah.
You only weigh 300 pounds.
Yeah.
That hold on. Wait a minute. So you've dropped like 20 pounds in the last how long?
Since I was 325 in July.
No,
Let's go. We'll go to the locker room.
Next commercial break, we might have to do
that.
Seriously, but you're as wide as you are tall.
I could eat myself into oblivion before I do this, though. I could be El Gordo before I do that.
You are El Gordo. You're right there.
What am I talking about?
You're El Gordo. You're El Gordo. Stay
calm. He's changing that subject, isn't he?
Quickly. Roland in Fernandina wants to talk about.
Ooh, I can laugh, can't I?
The opposition
tied
in.
You're like Santa Claus.
Hang on. Yeah. Roland in Fernandina.
I'll see Christmas.
Nice. Got him. Oh, we lost Roland. Roland's gone. Roll back, Roland. We'll get to him in a moment. Wanted to talk tight ends.
Leo gets on, Tony. I think Leo's going to call every Monday, by the way, and get on you now.
I don't care. Go ahead. I dominate Leo.
Well, you actually agreed with Leo tonight.
Yeah, Leo had a good call tonight. I give Leo credit.
Last week, not so much.
No, he was awful last week. It was one of the worst calls we've ever had in the show's history.
It's not very long history.
No, 2 years.
Ten.
It didn't start when you showed up, JP. I mean, I know you think you're a big deal, but it didn't start when you showed up.
There was another guy in that seat, JB.
True.
And we'll find someone else
one soon. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But, he 10 stars on the tee. That was one of the worst calls.
It was.
All right, we got calls. Let's go.
Got to get to it. We'll get to him in a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, come on now, Tony. Can I host the show? Can I just handle the phone calls?
Sometimes
just handle
you can.
A lot of rookies. Young offense. We touched on this earlier. The run game, is it something that you just want to shelf?
No, you can't
shelf it all together, but do you change the approach of it?
Well, I don't think you can run the outside zone with the personnel they have right now.
Let me ask you this. Would they be better off, like we talked about spreading out, would they have better chance to run the ball if they spread people out and take people out of the box?
I think so, because especially as effective as Blake is. I mean, sooner or later, people are going to be like, okay, we can't play eight in the box and play man coverage outside because he's going to shred us. We're going to have to play some two high looks. I mean, this team doesn't get a lot of two high looks, which, you know, I guarantee if you turn on Green Bay or Denver because they're playing too high because they're like, we're not going to man up and come after this guy because he's going to shred us. And sooner or later, I mean, Blake continues to improve and continues to play and puts a body to work together, I think you're going to see some different looks.
If you get two high looks, the rule of thumb is to run the ball.
Yeah, better opportunity to run. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that Blake is ready to do what Peyton Manning does, but if you watch what Peyton Manning does, that's all he is doing the entire game is looking at the coverage and basically counting the guys in the box, determining what he's going to call.
Well, we've compared not to say he's the same style of player, I mean, same player, but the same style as Luck. The Colts had Pep Hamilton, who came from Stanford. He wanted to play power football with 18 tight ends and line up, and it to me, quite frankly, I thought it was a stupid plan. And I told Pep Hamilton once, I go, this isn't Stanford anymore. You got to throw the football. And
what did he say?
Well, we'll throw it, you know. You got to tell those guys that. I tell them. I don't care. So.
Oh, we know you don't care.
I don't care. So now he's thrown for 370 yards or more in every game this year.
Yeah, he's playing pretty well.
So, and he's got better receivers. Don't get me wrong. Right now, you know, he's got T.Y. Hilton. He's got Reggie Wayne. He's got the two tight ends.
Hakeem Nicks, Kobe Fleener, Wayne Allen.
Yeah, he's got better receivers.
Pretty good.
But
Ahmad Bradshaw.
But it helps open up Ahmad Bradshaw's running by spreading that out, which I think this team Sunday, if I'm playing this week Sunday, I'm taking exactly what you said and what I said and go spread it out and play.
Yeah, I sometimes look at the overall personnel grouping that they have on offense, and I don't think they're set up to be a running, powerful type of football team.
No.
Right now. No. I'm not saying that they can't. I think when Mercedes is in, you have a better chance of doing that.
Okay, but the better question, though, Tony, is why would you want to be if you have that guy? You know what I'm saying? Why would you want to be? Why would you want to be set up that way? Yes, you need to run the football, but why would you want to be set up to be a running team if you have that guy?
Listen, I'm a firm believer in a 50-50, 40-60 balance run to pass.
Is Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, are they set up to be a running team?
No. But I do think to win in January, Pete, you got to be able to run the ball.
We got to get to January first, right?
No, I'm not talking about this team. I'm just talking overall philosophy.
See, I think to win in January, stuff has to go the right way. Because if you're there every January, something's going to happen the right way. Rodgers won it with a bad running game. Eli Manning won it with a bad running game.
Go look at the Giants.
The Colts won it with a bad running game.
Go look at how they ran the ball in the playoffs.
You have to be able to run the ball. Every
team who wins the Super Bowl or gets to that point controls the line of scrimmage on both sides.
You have to be able
to
back people off, though.
Oh, I agree. No. You got to be able to throw the ball, Pete.
You can't back people off. You're not winning.
I agree 100%.
The defensive players are way too fast.
You and I agree 100% on that. My whole point is you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And right now in the run game, this team is struggling to do that.
So change the way you run it.
I said I already agreed with you once. How many
times
do you want to hear
it every hour?
Holy cow.
If we went into the 8 o'clock hour, I'd hear it in that hour, too.
Speaking of offense, how did these receivers play yesterday? Cecil had 10 for 103, had the fumble, though.
You watched the tape. I haven't watched the tape yet.
Marquise Lee was back. What happened?
Yeah, better. They're getting better. I mean, I think getting Cecil back as a veteran helps them. It's got to help with Blake's confidence, just knowing that you got a guy who's confident in grasping what they're trying to do and routes to run. I think Allen Robinson continues to get better. Allen Hurns had some nice plays. He did slip. That's, that happens, unfortunately. The grass gave up. Marquise Lee was given limited reps coming back. Marquise Lee, to me, is the guy who has the most juice. I mean, I've told Jed this. I'd tell anyone who would listen to me. I mean, I'm an offensive lineman, so take it for what it's worth. I would have two or three design plays where I sent Marquise go run as fast as you can deep and throw it up to him and let him. He has great body control. He's a great athlete. If you can get the coverage set up, they're getting a lot of single high safety looks already. Put Marquise out there and take a shot a couple times down the field to him because he has the ability to run by people.
If you played the way we're saying we would play, what receivers on the field if you're doing it? They're all healthy.
Yeah, I'd rotate Cecil, Allen, Marquise, and Hurns. So I go to Denver because they play the style. They're all rotating in and out.
Right.
You have Emmanuel Sanders. You have Welker. You have Demetrius Thomas. You have
Julius Thomas, the flex
Julius
tight
Thomas,
end,
who's like a receiver. And you just rotate through your personnel groupings based with those guys.
So Hurns would still play.
Yeah.
So because I just think, to me,
I think you have four guys you rotate through.
This is going to get the fullback off the field. And I know he's a good blocker and all that, but get the fullback off the field. The good teams don't use the fullback. The good offenses don't use the
fullback. Well, I disagree with you. The good teams don't use fullback. San Francisco's pretty good.
Well, they got great defenses, Tony.
I'm just saying, but you can't say that, Pete.
The good offensive teams don't use the fullback.
I'm trying to rack my brain right now going through.
Denver?
Chicago's pretty good. They use the fullback.
No,
they're a good offense. Yeah.
New Orleans doesn't use the fullback.
Well, they're not very good right now.
No, but traditionally, Green Bay. I mean, they'll use
them. Green Bay uses them.
They'll use them, but for the most part, now these teams are all going to 3 and 4.
Well, you're talking about you'd rather see more 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wides.
Yes.
Then
for posse. Yeah.
Then 21.
Yeah. Yes.
Then 21 personnel, yeah. Two backs, one right. Tight end, two right. Tight.
Correct.
That's what. Yeah. Personnel groupings. You'd yeah. Rather see more 11
yes. Yes.
Personnel.
I'm an 11 guy, and sometimes I even like four receivers.
So 10.
Ace.
10 personnel.
Yeah.
More receivers than running backs. Simple.
The fullback to me is, if you throw to him, you're donating the down. That's what I call it. If you hand it off to him, you're donating
oh,
the down.
I don't know about that. Will has some nice catches. It yeah. Makes guys miss. No, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you 100%. I partly disagree because I think Will Talfo is one of your better players.
Would you rather have the ball in the hands of one of those fast receivers?
Oh, I would.
Right. So.
But it's a good change of pace. Mm. Listen, right now, the way you're built and what you can do, I don't think power running is what best fits this offense.
And either.
It pains me to say because I love run blocking. I mean, that is fun as an offensive lineman, putting your hand in the
so
dirt
tonight,
and getting
gonna,
after people.
You're going to love watching the Niners tonight with their little their pulls and everything and their run blocking, and you're going to get excited for that tonight.
Well, I enjoy watching that style of football. Yeah. I also like watching Denver play. I like watching Green Bay play. I mean, I'm just saying, as I'm talking as an offensive lineman, what I enjoy doing. I enjoyed when we were balanced and we could beat on guys. And still, you got to get junk yards. Trust me, no one loved Jimmy Smith going down the field catching the ball more than I did. Because you know what? You get a run about 40 yards, and you're 40 yards down the field further than you were a second
ago.
Let
me ask you this. As an offensive lineman, would you rather pass protect or run block?
Oh, run blocking's more fun.
But nobody sees it, though. You know what I mean? You'll see it if they isolate on you. If you're in pass
protection, as an offensive lineman, you're really not doing it to be recognized for your individual play. That's why you would never be an offensive lineman.
I wasn't, but that.
Weren't you? You were one.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I never went into a game going, I hope they ISO on me this play.
No, but you went into a game thinking, part of you went into a game thinking, all right, if I'm in pass protection with Derek Thomas,
never.
I'm going to be in pass protection with Derek Thomas and show everybody that I can be the.
No, I went into a game saying I wanted to dominate Derek Thomas, whether it was in the run, pass, or anything
well, maybe,
other play.
Maybe if you had said, look at me, we would be talking about your Canton Hall of Fame.
Well, if that's what it takes to do that, then I don't want it.
You'll get in eventually.
No, but my point is that I never once went into a game thinking about that.
But still, people isolate
pass
on
blocking,
tackles.
Pass blocking is much more difficult than run blocking.
Which is why when you're isolated and you do a great job of it, then you get
Well, I wanted to be good at both. You're asking me what was more fun. It was fun beating on people.
I don't know. Dr. Z said you weren't a very good run blocker.
Well, all due respect to Dr. Z. He was very good at what he did. I don't care what Dr. Z thinks.
And he was wrong, by the way.
I could care less what Dr. Z thinks.
Back to the phone lines. Terrence in Mandarin wants to talk about Ace Sanders. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, JP. Pete back on the radio.
Where you been, man?
Man, I've been listening to you. What's up, Tony?
What's up, Terrence?
I want to ask y'all two things. One, about why Ace is not in the rotation with the receivers. And two, why are these guys biting so hard on the play action? I mean, if it's the down and distance, I mean, if it's third and eight, third and nine, why are you biting on the play action so hard? I can understand if it's third and two.
First of all, they're not biting on play action on third and eight, Terrence. They're not. A lot of those explosive plays are on first and second down.
And they're young. That's what happens when you're young.
And they're young and aggressive, and that's what happens. But you're wrong about on third and eight, they're not biting on play action fakes.
As for why Ace Sanders isn't in the rotation, he wasn't here.
Yeah, he's just been back 2 weeks. He'll have a chance. If he shows that he's one of the best receivers, he'll have a chance of getting in the rotation.
And they don't mind him focusing on punt returns.
And he's a punt returner.
Right.
That's why he was brought. I mean, listen, he was drafted to be a punt returner.
Right. He caught 50 passes as a rookie.
No, well, because
there was nobody else.
And he earned the right to be one of the best two or three guys in the field.
Yeah.
If he does that, he'll be back on the field.
One more before the break. Roland is back on the line from Fernandina talking opposing tight ends. Another one had a big day, Roland. What's
yeah,
up?
Kill him.
Yeah, I'm just curious if you guys think that the Jag coaches have let the linebackers know that every team in this league is going to have a tight end.
No, I think probably not. I think they probably just said, don't worry about the tight end, let him run open. It's probably what I think they told them.
Honestly, Tony, that's what it looks like.
Well, honestly, that's a dumb question.
They're bad against a tight end.
I agree with that, but to say ask the question, are they telling the tight end, the linebackers to cover the tight ends? No. They're just saying, let him run free, we'll cover everyone else, and hopefully the quarterback's blind and he can't see the guy.
You know,
ask a question.
You know what that's a, you know what that's
a
product
question
of?
That makes sense.
You know what that's a product of? Not having speed at linebacker.
Oh, I don't disagree with any of that, Pete. I'm just saying that doesn't – I don't like when people ask questions – Like, the coaches are that dumb. The coaches watch the film and say, huh, let me think. Maybe we'll just let Delanie Walker run down the field, the seam, with no one within 20 yards of him. That would be a heck of a plan. I mean,
I think the question was for effect, Tony.
Well, I'm,
was,
and I'm just
he was exaggerating a little bit.
I know. Yeah, no, come on. But his question should have been, what is the problem with us covering the tight end? And that would be a very good question. The problems with covering the tight end right now is the linebackers and sometimes the safety are biting up on the fake and allowing too large of a area between the linebacker level and the safety level, and the tight ends are occupying that space and taking advantage of the aggressiveness and the eye violations, as Jeff Logman likes to say, of the linebacker / safety position.
You know what's great? You're not only answering the question, you're telling everybody how to ask them now.
Well, I'm trying to help people.
You know what's funny, though?
Am I not correct?
I just had like a deja vu. You know what they call it? Deja vu all
deja
over again?
I heard about that.
Yeah, you know why? When I can remember asking him questions, and he'd look at me and he'd go, what kind of question is that?
Well, because it was a dumb question. I mean, listen,
ask a question.
It was a
pointed question trying to put you on the spot. Of course it wasn't.
No, your questions most of the time were good. But sometimes you'd ask things that you were ignorant about, and I had to let you know.
No, I'd ask you questions trying to get you to say something that I could get a headline out of.
I know you think you know all, but you're ignorant about certain things.
I don't
know.
I'm learning all the time.
Well, that's
I'm
good.
Learning all the time.
You know what? You're going to be a better person.
You talked over here the other day about playing J.J. Watt.
See, I told you.
And I used to ask him those kind of questions, and he'd go, what kind of question is that? And I was probably trying to get him to say, yeah, we can get Fred to rush for 2,000 yards, so I can have a bad
if we were in the courtroom, I would object. He's leading the witness.
No, I would lead a witness now.
But yeah, I mean, ask the question. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the coaches, yes, they know the tight ends on the field, and yes, they're telling them to cover them.
Let me ask you this way, then. Linebackers for this team.
Yes.
How many are not here next year?
No, I'm not. JP,
you want to go there yet?
No, I'm not going there. It's week six.
Okay.
I might go there.
Pete?
The middle linebacker might not be here next year. And he's a good football player. He just might not be here next year.
Right.
I'm not, like everybody in this town, pounding on Posluszny, because I think over the years he's been a darn good football player.
A lot of people are piling on right now.
Oh, they're killing him.
He's a good football player.
But he's not Bobby Wagner. And he's not Navarro Bowman. And he's not the speed linebackers. And the one thing you notice with the good defenses around the league now, when they drop, they cover and they attack. They drop, they cover and they attack. And they cover so much ground. That's one of the unknown secrets to the Seattle defense. We always hear about the Legion of Boom, and we always hear about the guys in the front.
The linebackers are really
good. Those
linebackers
can fly to the football. And, boy, they cover a lot of ground. And when they hit you, you go down. There's not a lot of missed tackles.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about who's here and not here at this point because too many things can happen, and who knows.
And his salary is high for what he for that position. That salary is very high
because there's also a lot of different variations. Maybe
he could turn the play around a little bit, play better.
First of all,
but he's not going to get faster, JP.
Or maybe maybe get a bunch of young guys, and he's the first and second down linebacker, and there's third down linebacker. I mean,
that's a lot of money for a first and second down linebacker.
My point is,
I'm playing general manager. I play coach, general manager.
And this is why you'd be a bad general manager because you don't make these decisions at week
six. This is why I'd be a good general manager because I'm already thinking ahead. Oh, you're stuck in now.
No.
I always told you it was about 2015.
I don't need to make decisions right now about things
that
aren't
about it. You don't think he's thinking about that right now? You don't think Dave Caldwell down the hall is thinking about that?
I think he's evaluating every position, the whole team. Yes.
And he's probably thinking about, okay, this is going to be my 2015 team, and he will be here, he will be here, he will be here.
No,
I don't think he'll be here.
Really, I don't, because there's way too many variables that go into it.
That's why you're not a GM and why I'm not a GM, but why a guy like Dave Caldwell is a GM, because he's doing that right now.
No, I think he's evaluating the roster, Pete, but I don't think he's drawing up his roster for 2015.
He's got an idea. He's starting to think about it, though.
Well, everyone has an idea.
You don't think,
it can change
as
the season
goes
on.
You don't think at all.
Right now,
it's not crossing his mind that Posluszny might not be here next year.
Right now, I could go through this roster and evaluate where I think there needs to be improvement and changes and everything else.
Right now, it's not going through his mind right now.
Yes,
that Posluszny
but right now, I could do the same thing, but I'm not.
I rest my gaze.
But my point is, it's
copy fax, play the music.
it's not productive, and it's not fair to the guys who are playing.
What do you mean it's not fair?
Not
it's fair. It's a cutthroat business. You play
not
football,
fair.
You get cut. You make your money, you get cut. You get cut. There's no loyalty. There's no nothing. It's a cruel, nasty business. And if you can't make it, you get cut, period. If your salary's too much for what you provide, you get cut.
Pete, I understand that, but you don't make those decisions a week six.
You start working on making those decisions. If he was going to do it right now, hey, he cut two guys this year, right on the spot.
Well, I'm not saying you don't cut guys.
This is a perfect setup for the CopyFax Face-Off coming up next segment. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We might come to blows tonight, the CopyFax Face-Off. Baselli versus Prisco after this on Jaguars Monday. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli, Jaguars Monday continues. It is time for the CopyFax Face-Off.
What's the record?
I just won another one. We had a mini one.
It is all tied up for the season. Prisco 3, Baselli 3.
You got to stop feeling sorry for Tony when we do this, too, by the way. Just award him victories.
Tonight's topic.
Trust me, Joe doesn't like me, so it's not that.
Why doesn't Joe like you?
Because I let him know when he messes up in the booth, which is often, frankly.
So you hold a grudge from other shows.
Yeah. Basically. Well, not, yeah, from our.
So he's here on game day.
No, he's with us in game day.
Oh, he is up. Oh, that's
he's
right.
In the booth. He produces.
Talking about Joe Fortunato, the producer.
He's the executive producer.
And Joe gets reamed when he's in the booth?
Well, him and I have a little friendly banter. In all seriousness, Joe does not mess up. I blame him for anything that goes wrong, but he's outstanding at his job.
He's a pro's pro, Joe.
Quit trying to butter up the judge, okay? Joe, just stop.
I told you he doesn't like me.
Well, cut it out.
He's told me I was number one.
He said he gave you a peace sign, one finger kind.
See, I'm the number one. I'm number one in his heart.
The topic tonight, the last situation for the Jaguars yesterday. 12 seconds to play. They've just completed a ball to Allen Hurns out of bounds at the 37-yard line. 12 seconds to go. No timeouts. The ball's out of bounds. There's time for another play, in theory. Of course, the Jaguars don't run another play.
No
they
timeouts.
Kick the field goal from 55 yards. They try the field goal from 55 yards. It's blocked. The question tonight, should the Jaguars have taken another snap and try to get more yardage?
Mr. Prisco, you go first tonight.
Well, to answer that question, the answer is yes, they should have. And I'll be honest with you. I saw it both ways. I could see it both ways. But in the end, I just thought they had just completed an out pass to get the ball to where it was, and it was out of bounds. And they did it perfectly. So you take a three-step drop, fire a ball to the sidelines. If it's caught, you got maybe 6 more yards. And that 55-yard field goal is now a 49-yard field goal. Much more manageable. Yes, Scobie's a great kicker, but when you're kicking from 55 yards, the ball is always going to be low. It comes out lower. And when it comes out lower, you know what happens when the ball comes out lower? And Scobie, I guess, today admitted that he kicked it low. The ball is going to get blocked. So, yes, you have a rookie quarterback. Yes, you have rookie wide receivers. But in that situation, I probably would have taken one more shot to the sideline. And if it's not there, you throw it into the fourth row and you move on.
The only thing Pete is right about in that entire...
All of it.
You know, little explanation of the situation is, yes, there was enough time to run another play, without a doubt. The reason I agreed on the air last night during the game, and while I woke up this morning, watched
Company
it.
Man.
Nope. Because Jeff disagreed with me. Watched the tape and thought about it all day today. I would have done exactly what Gus Bradley did. The reality was this. You have a rookie quarterback. You have two rookie offensive lines. You've already given up 6 sacks. You have rookie wide receivers that you're trying to operate this who have never been in this situation before. And you just threw an out route and completed it. And
from what? From who to who?
Hold on, let me finish. Allen Hurns, who is a rookie, caught the ball and stumbled and was off balance. And if he had more body control or caught it clean or whatever the reason was, I don't know. And Allen Hurns did his job. He got the ball. But you could – watching it, and only Allen Hurns could tell you, got the sense that he was like, I have to get out of bounds right away. Watching the tape, he has about a 15-yard – there's not a Tennessee Titan. The Tennessee Titan defender got picked and got stuck and had a lot of room to run up for 5, 10, 12 more yards and step out of bounds. And so based on the play before of everything going on, the situation with no timeouts, I would have kicked the field goal as well. With Josh Scobie's history of his 63% make percentage, over 50 yards, all the rookies, the situation, I would have said, I want to make sure I give my team a chance to win. Because with what has happened today, what I just saw, let's not risk, because if we get tackled in bounds, if we get sacked, if something happens like that, then we have no chance to win the ball game. And that's why I 100% agree with Gus. A year from now, if you have veteran guys, maybe even two or three games from now, when the entire crew has been through that situation, watched the film, learned from it, are more comfortable, have a better sense of how long each play takes, the clock, where you are on the field.
I mean, kind of like the last play, the play before it, right?
Maybe I would
17 seconds, and it went down to 12.
Maybe
so they got 8 yards in 5 seconds.
Maybe I would have done it the more traditional way with 12 seconds and taken their chance. But with
how many seconds is 17? Based on the 12.
Based on the fact that the kicker I have and the crew that I was running the play with, I would have done what Gus did. And you admitted as you talked. You said, you know what? Quote unquote, Pete Persico, and we can run the tape. I understand why Gus did what he did.
But
and
it doesn't,
the bottom
mean,
line
it doesn't
is,
mean he's right.
He made the right call.
I disagree.
And he did the right thing. He gave himself
seconds,
a chance
how many
to win
from 17
the football
to 12.
Game.
I know
he
it's,
gave himself
it's complex
a chance
math
to win
for you, but 17
game.
To 12 is how many seconds?
And who's saying the ball wouldn't have been blocked from 50 or 49 yards if you'd
well,
got that 5
you're
or 6 yards?
You're throwing out stats of how reliable Scobie is from 50 yards plus. Well, how reliable is he from 55 out? Let's throw those stats around. Everybody keeps throwing it 50 yards and out. Well, 55 and out. 55-yard field goal is a long field goal to win a game. A 49-yard field goal is a long field goal to win a game, but significantly more manageable. And you know what? They got 8 yards from 17 seconds to 12 seconds with no timeouts. A rookie throwing to a rookie, by the way.
Who almost fell down before
he got out of
bounds.
Almost is only good in horseshoes grenades. It's not good in that.
I'm just saying, as your head coach, you have to make a split-second decision based on the information you have, based on what's happened in the game, the 6 sacks, everything else.
They made the split decision on the one before, and he went out of bounds.
Well, you had 17 seconds, Pete. Come on, give me a break. You were out of field goal range.
Your time is up.
I knew I won that one. That was easy. That was like stealing.
Your winner tonight, Pete Prisco from Arizona State University.
You love when you hear that fight song. Every time I think of that, I think of a Hail Mary.
Pete Prisco now leads
Stanford
the
this week, by the way.
Season series 4-3 over Tony Boselli. I'm with you, Pete. I mean, when in doubt, throw it out of bounds, right?
Throw it into the fifth row. Throw it to somebody, Jaguar fan, sitting in the crowd. Let them take it home.
And if you get a intentional grounding because you're in the pocket.
Well, throw it towards the receiver.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay. Come on, Tony. You lost the argument already. So
it's triplet screw. It's triplet screw.
Uh-huh. Come on. Have you ever seen somebody throw a high ball to a wide receiver on the sideline and in that situation and get a penalty for it?
But too many things.
Well, the winner is still Pete Prisco
Thank
tonight.
You.
He leads the season series.
He's going to think of a couple more things that would have.
I'm just telling you, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
And there's really no right or wrong because it's an opinion based on the circumstances.
Well,
I
there
said,
is a right or wrong because he played the fight song already.
Joe's an idiot. All the things I said nice about him, I don't believe anymore.
We'll look around the National Football League when we come back. Busy week 6 in the league. Helmets and Heels Radio tomorrow night. Jessica, Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will be talking Jags and the league from their unique and strictly feminine perspective. Tomorrow at 7 on 1010XL at 92.5 FM. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
From the HennanyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist.
That means he's old.
Pete Prisco. Tony Boselli.
Were you 60?
Ooh. Not quite.
54.
I called him 63 last night. I thought he was going to jump across the table.
He's 60. He's 54.
You're 60. You came here at 40, so you're 60.
He's got a 3-year-old hip, though.
That's right? All that matters.
Well, that's not all that matters.
I was going to say something else, but I get in trouble.
Yeah.
So you were 40 when you got here, so it's been 20 years, so you're 60.
No, I'm 42.
Plus 20.
Are you really 42?
Yep.
Dang.
I won't tell you how old I am, guys.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
What are you, 30?
32.
Yeah.
He's an old 32, though.
He is an old 32.
You're I'm just saying, you have an old soul.
I think we've had this conversation before in this program.
Have we?
And you said the same exact thing about him. He's an old soul.
Well, thank you.
Maybe it's the,
at least you're consistent.
Maybe I'm not.
What are you going to say? You're going to say maybe it's what? Well,
maybe it's the hairline.
You can make hairline jokes all you want.
Yeah, hilarious.
I didn't say it.
It's original, Tony.
I was going to say your physique.
We got a guy on
physique. I'm down weight. Okay, don't even start physique.
We got a guy. We got a guy on our does our is a host down there, and he's like 30-ish, and he worries about his hair all the time, and he like pats it up and everything, and I'm like,
is that a hairpiece?
No.
No.
But he's 30, and he's like all panicky that he's going to be 40, and when you're on TV as a host, you want to have your hair, you know, and so I said, dude. It's going, so every chance I get, I'm like...
Oh, is it on its way?
No, but I'm telling him it is. I'm telling him it is.
That's one thing I don't have to worry about. I got a thick head.
I thought I didn't have to worry about it either, but I did.
I started losing mine at 26.
Yeah, see, now
it was all over. Couldn't circle the wagons.
Now, when you knew me, when I covered the team...
Will you do the comb over ever?
Probably not. No, I mean...
When you knew me and I covered the team, I had long hair. I had a lot of hair.
Yeah.
And it goes. I never. I mean, it was 26. I didn't have that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. What are you pointing at?
The shiny part of your head. No, shiny.
Will you go toupee?
No.
No chance.
You know what he's got to do?
You know what you need.
He's got to do this.
I need a lot of.
Get
things.
The number one.
Yeah, you need to go
number
need,
one.
Not quite yet, but you're getting close. Where you just need to let it.
No, number one.
Go shave, to the barber. Shave it off.
No, not shave it. Do
Gus
number
Bradley.
One, like I do. Just go in and do
or,
number
or
one.
Or Gus.
Go Gus Bradley and shave it all the way.
Yeah, but the only problem with that is you got to shave it all the time.
Yeah, I don't like that. I got too many ridges. I'm like a Klingon up here. I mean,
like you, like him. He's got hair. He probably combs his hair, like brushes his hair, like once every 7 days or something. Besides,
I haven't used the comb in probably 5 years, or a brush.
What about that beard that you're growing?
I gotta shave.
Yeah, so. You do.
I thought so.
But I would bet you need to. I just kind
of
shave it down.
I need a lot of things. Let's look around the National Football League from Week 6. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys have Super Bowl talent. They're 5-1. They beat the Seahawks 30-23.
Played good on defense yesterday too. You realize how Seattle scored their points?
Special team blunders.
Punt block, a fumble on a punt, and then a fumble by Romo. That's how they scored their points. Mm. Their defense played good. The corners played really well. Getting Scandrick back on back in the thing is very big for them.
I don't know if they have Super Bowl talent on defense. No, they have Super Bowl talent on offense.
Right. They had a big game this week. Giants.
Boy, how about the beatdown they took in Philly?
Woo wee!
Yeah, Philly are now 5-1, of course, tied for first
I didn't
in the
see
division.
That coming. Not that, that bad. Mean,
all Who's Eagles the best team it? In the league, by the way?
Best team in the league.
And it can't be Seattle.
It's a great question.
Or the better question is anybody any good?
I think there's 5 or 6
good,
teams
really
that are. There's probably 10 teams right now that could win the Super Bowl.
Right, correct. Maybe even more, Tony.
Yeah. Parity, right?
Who's the best team in the NFC West?
Arizona might be.
If Carson Palmer gets healthy, Arizona Cardinals.
He started throwing the ball around pretty good yesterday, too.
Did he play the whole game?
Yeah. They might be the best team in that division.
Wow.
Denver's the best team. Or San Diego.
Problem is Denver play. If you play physical with them, I don't know if they
can
hold
we'll see because they play San Francisco next week in Denver.
Peyton's going for the record, too.
Yeah.
Touchdown record.
He'll get it.
Panthers-Bengals finished in a tie, 37-all, a missed field goal at the end of overtime for the Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals.
Wasn't it the chip shot, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
They lined it up in the middle and everything.
And then Pac-Man, or Adam, no longer Pac-Man, called him out after the game. You got to make that kick.
Like, how long was it?
Like 30 yards or
they
something.
They centered it. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
They centered the ball on the play before.
30 yards and he shanked it?
Pushed it right.
Right. He centered the ball on the play before. Didn't try and get any more yards because they were already in field goal range. Which I had questions about that too, but got to make that. Well, he's 11-17. It's not like he got the greatest kicker in the world there. He's been 11. He's now 11-17 on the year.
How much time was left in the overtime when they were
2 seconds?
Two
so
seconds.
Was it.
They had because both teams had scored.
Right.
And so then they got the ball back, and Dalton went down the field and drove him down the field, and then they centered the ball on the play before the kick. Thinking they had a 30, I think it would have been 30, I think it was a 37 yard field goal.
Yeah, and they called a timeout with like 2 seconds left.
And he yanked it to the right.
Yeah,
need to find a new kicker.
You know, I mushed him. By the way, Mike.
See, you have a history of this.
But no, at training camp, the Bengals were practicing at a high school, and I was standing on the sideline watching practice, and he walked over and he grabbed the ball and he was lining it up and he was going to kick it at the other goalpost, which was a, you know, was running up and kicking it. It was 70 yards or whatever, 65 yards. And I go, oh, that's a long field goal. I go, oh, watch. And he kicked it. He boomed it. I mean, it was boomed. It would have went through. And I said, yeah, it was wide left. And he looked at me like, because it was wide left.
Way to go, Pete.
He had been between the uprights since.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's a bad loss for the Bengals. I mean, a bad tie for the Bengals. And, by the way, Carolina danced off the field like they won the game when they missed it. They danced off the field.
No, you just walk off the field and say, yeah, better than losing, I guess.
Right. And Cam Newton's played really good football. Really good football. He was phenomenal yesterday.
The Packers are playing good football, too. They're 4-2. Aaron Rodgers touchdown, final seconds.
How about that play, Aaron? Now
the fake spike. That was risky.
That was his – was. Am I correct in saying that McCarthy told him to spike it and he – made the call on his own?
And it was a rookie receiver that he threw that to that had never done something like that. Again, you can do that stuff when you got Aaron Rodgers.
Man, that was
good. That's risky because if he gets tackled, the game's over.
They ended up winning. Really? Last play of the game.
The Jaguars play the Cleveland Browns at Everbank Field this week. Hoyer 8-17 passing, 2-17 a touchdown, but they hammered the ball on the ground and crushed the Steelers.
Good football team.
I don't think they're a good football team.
They're playing okay right now, though, right?
I don't think they're a good football
team.
I watched the tape.
They're a good team.
The line's good. The offensive line's good.
Alex Mack's done for the year?
Yeah, that'll hurt him. That'll hurt him. He's athletic as heck. He gets out in space.
They run the ball very well.
Yeah, they do. They're a good running team, but they don't have weapons. They don't have a lot of weapons outside. Cameron's pretty good, but he got off to a slow start.
Hoyer's playing pretty well. I mean, he didn't play great the other day, but he's playing pretty well.
Yeah. Don't you get the strange feeling that we've seen this before? Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kirk Cousins, all these guys that they are just what they are. Josh McCown, and then eventually they morph into who they are, which is that guy. Yeah. We've seen it before.
We'll see.
Don't you expect that from Hoyer at some point, though?
I don't know. He was playing well last year before he tore his ACL.
Yeah, but he's.
It was only like a few games, though, wasn't it?
He's just been okay. He's been okay. He's not great. He's not going to win. You're not going to put the ball on his right arm and go win the game.
Didn't they do it against Tennessee 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, they came back.
It's Tennessee.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I just don't think he's that good. I think Jacksonville wins this week.
Oh, all right. Calling it again.
I hope you're right.
Everybody was worried about the Patriots after their loss in Kansas City, but they're now 4-2. Big win over the Bills in Buffalo.
Yeah. Very Tom Brady, huh?
Remember, there was one question.
Where was
that
coming
game.
From?
A lot of different places.
Absolutely.
Like where, though?
Tony, it was everywhere.
No, I know that, but where did it originate?
Media members?
Was this media?
Yeah, somebody in that postgame.
Or is there someone whispering in the organization?
Oh, no.
Somebody in that postgame asked Belichick, are you going to evaluate the quarterback position?
Yeah, he went.
He just made a face.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady is still, he's not the same guy he was when he was, 10 years ago, but he could still make all the throws. He's still Tom Brady. In the last 2 weeks, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, when I heard those stories, I'm like, who's starting this?
That's just
foolish. It's just stupid people.
Way to go, Pete.
It's the same guys that rushed Russell Wilson up the elite tree.
Same guys. Let me ask you a question, because it happened after our show last week. Did Peter King say that Russell Wilson will be the best player for the next 5 years?
Oh, yeah, they all said it. They were all saying the same thing, all of them. Mike Freeman, top three quarterback, da-da-da, da-da-da.
Based on what?
Tony, they took what he did Monday night against a bad Washington defense and turned him into the next great thing. The man is averaging less than 200 yards passing per game. He leaves pockets that are so clean it's infuriating to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a solid player.
Solid. He's solid. That's what he is. He's solid with a ring because of a great, great defense. He's solid and a good running game. He's solid. Took arguably one of the great defenses we've ever seen because
– You realize they wouldn't even got that ring last year if the current rules are in place with replay because Bowman recovers that fumble?
Yeah.
That was at the end of the game, right? Yeah. Am I correct in saying that? It's interesting how things change.
Joe Flacco threw 5 touchdowns in the first quarter in like 2 minutes, and the Ravens routed
about
the Bucks.
The Bucks, a team that Atlanta blew the doors off of them. The Ravens have blew the doors off of them.
The Bucks have allowed, if I'm not mistaken, is it 5 games or 6?
6 games.
6 games, because they haven't had a bye. In 6 games, they've allowed more points than the Ravens did when they won the Super Bowl. They're terrible. And this is a defense that has
Gerald McCoy is a really good player.
Michael Johnson, who they paid a bunch of money to. Lavonte David's a heck of a player. They paid a bunch of money to Deshaun Goldson.
What's the issue?
They drafted Mark Barron. I think the corners are a big issue.
But
they let Revis walk.
But in that cover,
it was one and done for him there.
Yeah. That Lovie Smith cover two. You don't need great corners.
Yeah, but you gotta have. If you don't have the great corners, you better have the elite pass rushers. Then
they got that in Gerald McCoy. He is a great three technique.
Well, I'm talking about the end. You know,
and Michael Johnson's not a pass rusher.
He's a good player. He's just not a great pass rusher.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He's a very good defense. He's a very good player, right. But he's not an elite pass rusher.
You know what else too this year? Teams aren't getting sacks for the most part. They're not a lot of – the sack numbers are way down, way down.
Quarterbacks get rid of the ball.
And it's not because of the great offensive line play. You know that much.
Quarterbacks get rid of the ball.
Yeah, it's not like the old days.
All the contact, defensive contact and all that stuff. Is that part of it?
But I mean like the seven-step drops and all that, they're gone.
You don't see seven-step drops very often at all.
Yeah. It says the game has changed so much that the sack nowadays, if you get – like the Lions had 8 sacks yesterday against Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
8. That's rare nowadays. I mean, you see guys piling up sacks at 8. And that got them to 20 for the year. They had 8 in a game, and they only have 20 for the year.
Well, the Jags have 19. What are they, second or third?
Yeah, they're right up there at the top still, even after their few yesterday.
And there is not – if you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, you wouldn't say they have a good pass rush. You would not say that.
That's right? That's fair that on the edge, right? Clemens,
is that true? Would you
Branch
say they do not have a good pass?
Clem had a sack yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think they have an elite pass rusher. Sendarek Marks is good at the three.
The guys in the middle.
But as a unit, would that be a good pass rushing defensive line?
It's solid.
Solid.
Yeah, it's a good group.
Right.
But there's not that
it's
one.
It's not the Giants of a few years ago.
There's not that one elite guy that you go, you know, wow, we got a game plan that guy.
Right. So sacks are down. That's another trend of the league.
Yeah. Quickly back to the NFC East. Eagles and Cowboys play on Thanksgiving. That's the first time they'll meet this year. They'll meet again in December.
No, they
too.
Play this week.
No, they just played.
Oh, the Eagles and Cowboys. I thought you said the Cowboys and the Giants play this week. I'm sorry.
So, you guys still on the Giants winning that division?
Well, I don't know after that. But
I mean, come on now.
You know what, though?
Long way to go. They've only played 6 games.
And we get so caught up in
week to week.
Right.
At the end, during the last quarter of the season, everyone was down on the Seattle Seahawks that they did not have a Super Bowl team because they were getting killed up front. They weren't healthy. They got healthy in the playoffs, and they won a title.
Yeah. The Giants have a real brutal stretch here coming up of 7-game start.
The two times they won the Super Bowl, they were 9-7. They got in the wild card.
Right.
I mean, the Ravens were awful a couple years ago, the year they won it. Their defense gave up 300 yards rushing to the Cowboys one afternoon. And everyone was killing them. They got hot at the end of the season. They were very good the last quarter of the season, got in the playoffs, and they won a Super Bowl.
You could buy a single-game pass for the JTA Stadium shuttle service to and from Jags games and easily avoid parking hassles. For locations, prices, and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com. We'll look at Monday Night Football, the Cleveland Browns as well, and get out of here. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxing, waxing. Give me down to there, shoulder length, longer hair.
Final segment of Jaguars Monday.
That's cool, Joe. You're cool. You're a mean man, Joe.
JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli.
When did the hair start fleeing the residence?
26, I told you.
Okay.
You weren't paying attention.
You don't listen. You don't comprehend.
Yeah. Thank you.
You just interrupt.
When you going to ask me when mine started fleeing?
I don't care.
Mid-30s. Mid-30s.
It happens. It's natural. You can't
you just got to embrace it and cut it.
You can't beat nature.
Embrace it and cut it like I do.
One time I tried to circle the wagons, and I was like, I can't do this.
You tried to do the comb over?
No, the stuff that you put in there, the whatever it is.
No.
One time. And I felt so bad.
Rogaine.
I couldn't, yeah. I threw it away.
Have you ever seen those ads for the plugs or whatever, then people's hair? Can you imagine you showed up one day in here and you had hair the next week? You'd be getting more crap for having new hair than you would for having none.
Nice hair, Shadrick. That's what Prisco
said. Am I wrong, Tony?
I love it. I wish you would, just so I can make fun of you.
What if I showed up with all of a sudden a full head of hair?
Great.
And it wasn't gray.
I'd make so much fun of
you. Make fun of me enough.
Mean, people dye your hair. I don't know.
I got a buddy who dyes his
my
hair
dad,
jet black.
I'm my like, dad once tried to dye his hair. I go, Dad, come on. You look like you have tar in your hair or something. It's terrible.
I just don't care enough.
Neither do I. You can tell by the way you dress, too.
Oh, yeah. You dress real well.
I don't care. Hey, I'll be the first one to admit it. I don't care.
I got to make a note. You the Jaguars. The
same, wait, before you say yes. that, you must get the same thing I do. You're going out in that when you walk out?
I dress very nice, I'd like you to say.
The Jaguars Kids Club Tour and Treat event is back. All members of the Jaguars Kids Club invited to attend a special event Tuesday, October 28th here at Everbank Field. Behind-the-scenes tour, games, a dance party with the Roar. Halloween costumes, you got to wear those. Register and RSVP, JaguarsKidsClub.com.
If you know,
you know
is, the it's
only
sports
they'll have all their
coats,
hair.
It's those sports coats that you wear.
Yeah, that's it. You know the only time I look like good is when I work. No, I take out of my closet what Rosenblum has said wear.
The sport coats.
Yeah, that's it.
Monday Night Football.
We got to get that ad somewhere, somehow. Somebody back at the studio, that he has to play that ad for us one night.
Okay, great, Pete.
I know I struck a nerve.
Yeah.
No, I don't
care. You're all over Tony. Tony, last 2 weeks.
Oh, he abused me for being a little fat, round guy. What are you talking about? So I got to give it back to him.
Well, you are.
Well.
I just want to make sure we get to Tony early tonight, because the last 2 weeks, the last segment you said you haven't been able to get anything off your chest.
And I
you
got nothing
used the last
I'm
segment.
Good.
Are you good tonight?
I'm good tonight.
He got it all off.
He got it all off your chest tonight.
Most of the callers were good tonight.
I don't know. You were hammering a couple of
them. Well, the dumb question was ridiculous.
Monday Night Football tonight. Niners at the Rams.
Rams defense is good.
It hasn't been as good, though.
But they're still
good.
How
about Robert Quinn? No sacks.
You know, I heard a stat somewhere that they have the most tackle for losses in the NFL.
But he has no sacks.
No, I'm just saying it's the defense.
Yeah. He has none. I thought, and I went and spent time with this kid in May and did a whole thing with him. And I would have swore, after watching his tape, and he had 19 sacks last year, he was going to push the sack record. He doesn't have any. And he told me that the toughest tackle that he faces is Joe Staley. So it'll be interesting to watch what they do tonight.
It'll be fun to watch.
Cleveland Browns come to Everbank Field. Run yesterday, and a big win over the Steelers. But as we talked about earlier, are they as good as they seem to be right now?
I don't think they are. I think when you look at them, their numbers on defense are bad. And the funny thing about it is, we thought they'd be really good on defense, or good. They were ninth last year in the league. They add Dansby. They add Whitner. You think they're going to be better on defense. They have a defensive coach now, Mike Pettine, and they're not good on defense, and they're better on offense than we expected. I think it's
they run the ball really well. Ben Tate's running the ball well. They run that zone scheme, and it fits him perfectly. And they're going to try to pound the rock against this Jaguar defense. Which, listen, Jaguars defense has played well against the run the last couple weeks. So it'll be a good matchup.
That's why I think they win this week. I do. I think they're going to win this week. I think Bortles will have another big game, and I think the defense will play better. I just don't think Hoyer is all that.
Speaking of quarterback up there, is there any more Manziel talk at all up there? Or is it just
there will
dead?
Be when he plays one bad game. I mean, yesterday wasn't great. It was
8 of 17.
8 of 17. He had, you know what he did, though? He had 4 pass plays over 20 yards. One was, you know, 3 of them were over 30 yards. So there were he
big
made
chunk,
the plays.
Chunk yardage.
Yeah, and that comes off your running game. That's what that comes off of.
That'll do it for Jaguars Monday. Let's welcome in the guys from Timeout. Fat Tony and Paul Spicer are standing by. What's up, guys?
What's going on? Look, I wanted to ask Tony Boselli this question because I don't get the opportunity to watch coaches tape until Tuesdays because NFL.com is stupid about that kind of stuff. I wanted to ask you because it's the first thing we hear from the fans every week when they lose, Tony, is about the play calling. It felt to me watching the game like they wanted to take some deep shots, and when it wasn't there, Blake was tucking the ball and running with it, and that's why he had some of the rush yards he did. Watching the game live from the booth and rewatching the coaches' tape today, is that what was happening, or are they just not trying anything downfield?
No, they have deep routes. I mean, part of it, if you want to get stuff down the field, you got to protect a little bit longer, but there were some deep ends and some patterns that were extended down the field that I think they wanted to take shots, and it just didn't work out. But listen, at the end of the day, the kid threw for 336 yards.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think the passing game was a major – I mean, it was pretty productive for the most part. I think it was 68, 69, 70% completion percentage. I mean, he did a – you know, people always want big – they always want – I mean, I've heard that not just here, everywhere. Why don't they throw the field down – ball the field – why don't they throw the ball down the field more and all this stuff? If you watch the tape – he pushes the ball down the field when it's necessary. Did he miss maybe some opportunities once or twice? Sure. But, you know, trust me, Jed's calling plays to try to stretch the field.
They also don't have a burner. Let's not forget that until Marquise Lee gets back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the guy who can really stretch a defense.
Sure, and I heard you guys early on in the show tonight, too, talking about the run game. And look, I don't know if there's a short-term fix for what's going on with this Jaguar run game in 2014. So if I'm hearing you guys correctly, are you saying that basically it's time to almost give up on that part of it and just like Blake Bortles kind of run that two-minute style offense throughout most of the game, at least let him do it earlier?
No, I'm not saying give up on the run, but change how you're going to run the ball. Run it more out of spread formations and try to open up lanes based on formations and forcing the defense into more sub defensive looks by throwing the ball and then open up the
kind of like the Eagles do.
Inside running game.
Right? Kind of like the Eagles.
Yeah, they do that. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Not to that extreme,
extent,
but
yes,
similar
along those lines.
That'll do it from here. Timeout with Fat Tony and Paul Spicer starts right now.